Let's pray. Loving God, come among us, we pray. Still our hearts and our minds, and stir our souls to be open to all that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pat and Yvonne, for those readings. We can't get enough of the Sermon on the Mount, so you could have gone on and on, because there's plenty more further on in Matthew, but thank you for that. This is a comment that I've often heard on Facebook and social media, beautiful lady, inside and out. It usually crops up when a new and lovely profile photo is displayed for people to see. And it's wonderful to receive that kind of feedback, probably not if you're a man, but for others, I dare say it is. I remember quite a few years ago, my sister-in-law, she had a special makeover. And the results were utterly amazing. The transformation, I think, had taken at least 10 years off her, if not more. And this picture went out on social media, and the response from her Facebook friends was as you'd expect. And however wonderful she looked, and she really did, the photo didn't tell us very much. After all, it was only social media. So as we gather for this Ash Wednesday service, we're once again reminded of our own brokenness with lives that can never be faultlessly lived this side of the grave. But as Christians in God and through Jesus and in the power of the Spirit, we are forgiven and made new. And this God of grace knows us more intimately than we could ever imagine, on the inside and outside. Even if we think God isn't looking, he knows all about us. From our social media profile, if we have such a thing, or our public image, if you like, right through to those innermost thoughts and feelings that, if we're honest, we'd rather that no one knew too much about that. God knows and loves us far more than even any close friend or loving family member. And in that gospel reading that Yvonne read to us from Matthew, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is offering some challenging teaching, both to his first century listeners and to us, about the practice and motivation behind religious activities. Giving money very publicly and wanting to be noticed and applauded. Look at us, we're the most generous people ever. We're God's gift to fundraising, look at us. Or praying on the street corners, using long and complicated words and ideas that others may not understand, simply to be noticed and affirmed. Or to make a huge deal out of fasting, making it blatantly obvious by the sad looks and dismal look appearance and other signs that others could almost not fail to notice. I don't think these are the kinds of people and attitudes any of us would want to spend too much time with. Attracting attention, wanting attention, a kind of look at me. We see it with children, and maybe it's cute when they do it, but perhaps with adults it may not be quite so much. We might smile indulgently at the toddler who cries, "Mummy, Daddy, look at me," as they ride their new tricycle round the back garden. And sometimes they'll find any way they can of making sure their parents, their teachers, friends know how amazing and wonderful they are. And we may forgive toddlers, but if we're honest, I reckon there's a little bit of look at me in all of us, even if we're not quite so young anymore. Jesus always loved to get to the heart of the matter, the nub of the issue, and asked his religious listeners some pretty challenging questions, a kind of let's get beneath the surface and see what's really going on here. And uncomfortably, these questions to Jesus' listeners also apply to us today. So does what others on our outside, I'll say that again, does our outside match our inner reality? Is our public and most private thing aligned? Do the two kind of stack up? It's quite a tough question. I'll share a little story with you. There was a story about a Christian minister, quite a long time ago now, who had a very successful preaching and teaching ministry, People would come from all around to come and listen to him. He had a great reputation and was a fantastic preacher. And what most of the people didn't know at the time was that whilst to the outside world all was well, this Christian minister's inner life was collapsing around him, with a relationship breakdown and then the lies and the deception and all that that went with it. But all of this was being masked by his external success. And eventually the lid just blew and it was all over. And such a sad story for that minister. Does what others see match the inner reality? There were some real issues in Jesus's day of certain kinds of religious people parading their actions to the world around them. A kind of, look at me, aren't I amazing, kind of attitude. And Jesus challenges his hearers not to engage in spiritual practices in order to be seen by others, or to be honoured by others, or revered or affirmed by others. Jesus too is concerned that such practices like giving to the needy, like praying and fasting, could merely become ways of showing off and being noticed. So instead, he encourages us to do these things in secret, rather than conducted with one eye on the audience, as it were. And Jesus' teaching on prayer and fasting also offers an encouragement to see these as primarily an opportunity to draw closer to God, rather than a chance to be seen to be doing the right thing and receiving the praise of those around us. I think one of the dangers around social media platforms like Facebook, Twitter and Instagram is that the person's posting's greatest concern often is how many likes they receive. I don't know whether you've been there, if you're a Facebook user or Twitter user. Posting, checking, waiting, checking again. I wonder to what extent are we seeking meaning and worth and value through other people's affirmation, either in that virtual world or through the praises of our friends and neighbours down our street or in the clubs and societies that we belong to. Not at the moment, but we'll do in normal times again, or even, dare I say, at the churches to which we belong. God is far more concerned with what's really going on in our hearts and souls than anything on the outside, any outward appearance, or any worthy activity, or number of likes that we happen to get. And Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, in the Sermon on the Mount, focuses on a number of spiritual practices, or put another way, rhythms of life that we can develop and grow in. And Jesus makes it clear that the purpose of these is about our inner self, our inner life, rather than our outward image and what others perhaps see. So as Lent begins, and this Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of this Lenten season of 40 days, a penitential and reflective time, can I encourage us to use this opportunity of the season to consider once again what we might do to grow closer to God and to deepen our lives with him? If you ask the average person on the high street what they think Lent is all about, they'll probably talk about giving up chocolate or alcohol or some other unhealthy food or habit. And if you know anyone who's done that for Lent, you'll probably remember them talking about how difficult it was and how they suffered for 40 days or gave up after a week of trying. Jesus and the prophet Joel, as it were, set us a different kind of challenge. Rather than giving up, how about quietly taking something up? It might be starting a new pattern of prayer. It might be reading a particular book of the Bible. It might be reading a Christian book. It might be joining a house group. It might be changing our approach to our financial giving, or it might be something else. But whatever it is, my prayer is that you'll draw closer, it will draw you closer to Jesus, so that you'll become ever more Christ-like as you seek to love and serve him. And this is between you and God, of course it is. It's between me and God, and it's rightly, therefore, a private matter. you would value the chance to talk through anything, any ideas for Lent, be they taking up or giving up or doing a new thing, do contact me or one of the clergy team or any good friend who'd be happy, I'm sure, to talk to you in confidence. I'm already really excited about knowing a few things people are doing for Lent. One person's reading the Book of Revelation, which I think is really exciting. And there are other things going on as well. But whatever you decide, hold in your heart the certainty that God already thinks you're utterly amazing. I don't know if you've read anything by Adrian Plass, the Christian author. He was kind of around quite a few years ago now. I don't know if he's currently writing books, but I read quite a few of them, probably 10, 15 years ago or more. But he kind of summarises his theology by saying this: God thinks I'm quite nice. I quite like that. That's kind of simple faith for me. That kind of does it all, really. God thinks I'm quite nice. God thinks you're quite nice. So as reassurance and as encouragement, as you seek to grow closer to God this Lent, be assured that in God's eyes, you are beautiful both inside and out. So as I draw to a close, do take a moment to reflect on what God might be asking you to do over these coming weeks. If you already know, continue to commit that to God and bring that to him in prayer in a moment. I'm just going to let Aileen in. I think she's just coming into the call. So just a moment of quiet and then I will pray just to conclude these thoughts. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that in your infinite wisdom you would show us ways of being more Christ-like as we seek to love, serve and worship you in and through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.